Giant FM Real Radio. You're listening to A Trip with Penny Lane, and I've followed his books for a few years, and I know it's always a lot of excitement, and every time I read one of the books, no matter who I'm around, they'll take the book, break it open, and start reading Truth Trivia and the Pursuit of Factness, Uncle John's Truth Trivia and the Pursuit of Factness, and would like to welcome to the show the author, Gordon Uncle John Javna. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So
again.
Yes. So tell us a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about you. I know you've been a musician, you've been a real estate developer, so many, you owned a restaurant. President of a preschool?
I did run a preschool, and I also was owned a brewery. So, you know, I've done a lot of things, and but this is my favorite thing I've ever done, which is collecting and sharing these fabulous little tidbits of trivia that we collect and put into Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. I'm a hoarder. You know, my wife says so. Anyway, I'm a collector. I think I'm a collector, but she says I'm a hoarder. But anyway, I one of the things I hoard is these wacky ideas for articles that we put into Uncle John's Bathroom. I just love finding out the origins of things and reading about people's mistakes and failures and then finding out great history and interesting facts and science and. That's what's in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader.
I think they are so, this is always so interesting. Now, I see this is volume number 32. Have you put out 32 issues yourself? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Wow.
We started in 1987. And so this is our 32nd year of doing this every year. We've done a lot of other books at the, you know, sort of offshoots of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. We did one on golf, one on baseball, one on music, one on cars, and so on. But the annual edition, we've done, this is our 32nd. Yeah. It's amazing. I never thought we would be doing this 30 years later, but
I know.
I still enjoy it. And as long as people enjoy reading it,
no,
we'll keep going.
People get excited. People get very excited
with
your books. So now how do you go about reading it? Because, like, I know I'll always keep the book, you know, handy, and I'll just flip it open randomly. And whatever page it lands on, that's normally where I start reading, and then I'll flip around, you know, because there's so many facts. Like, it's not the sort of book that everyone's different, you know, but I don't read it page to page from the front cover to the back. I sort of flip around, look around in it.
Well, I put the book together from front to back, but I am well aware when I'm putting the book together. Okay, so an Uncle John's Bathroom Reader has somewhere around 250 articles. Mm-hmm. They range, they're one page, two page, three page, mostly. There are some fours and fives in there, but mostly they're ones, twos, and threes. And but then we have the running feet, the little factoids at the bottom of every page, and we have little tip boxes and filler at the end of articles that don't quite fill out a page. And so there are a lot of factors to consider when we're putting the book together. Plus, I like to vary the topics. I'm well aware that when people read it, because the way I read things, I start at the back, or if open it up like you open up to the middle of a book and see what it's all about. So I know people are going to do that. So I make sure there's lots of plenty of one page articles scattered throughout the book, so that if you open and you only have a second to look at it, there's something there to grab you, because I know once you're grabbed by the content of this book, you want to read more.
Right.
And you want to turn the page and see what's on the next page. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we put it together.
You know, one of the first pages, and I think it's just because I opened the book and it immediately went to the music page. I was like, oh, that's weird. You know, and then like it had quotes from like Lady Gaga and like all different types of people and what music meant to them. I thought that was very interesting, you know, and it was pretty a diverse group of, you know, different people on that. Another one.
Well, we try to keep it, I'm a 60s guy. So 60s, 70s, maybe even into the 80s. Is my sort of wheelhouse, even the 1950s. But we do our best to keep, because the world changes. Not that many people are as interested in the 60s as they once were. So keeping it in the 2000s is what I have a staff for. And a quote page about music must include people like Gaga and contemporary people, because, you know, most people wouldn't be interested if it was just, you know, the Beatles. Well, although we do have a page of Beatles trivia in the book.
Yeah,
too,
I seen that. I liked that.
Yeah, because they so I heard some musicians say the Beatles ruined it for everybody, because you can never top what they accomplished, and in terms of influencing everybody. So a page of Beatles trivia is still interesting, even though it's harder and harder to find trivia you didn't know about.
So Kermit the Frog, I was really interested in the very Muppet scandal. Big fan of Kermit the Frog, and didn't realize that there were, you know, like, different Kermits over the years, as far as the voices.
Well, Jim Henson was the original Kermit. He was Kermit for 35 years or so until he passed away, and then they had to have somebody else do it, and that was the fellow that I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was the voice of and the actor for Rizzo the Rat.
Yeah, Steve and, Whitmore. Whitmire, there we go. I'm looking at the book.
Okay. Yeah, and so it's a, you know, then he got into a controversy with Brian Henson, who fired him and brought somebody else in. But that's just one of the Muppet scandals that we outline. And this is a Sesame Street year, because they're being honored at the Kennedy Center. But we have something there about the Happy Time Murders, which is a lawsuit where Sesame Workshop sued the Henson organization because they wanted to do an R-rated film that was centered around the Happy Time crew, I think they called it, that was sort of like Sesame Street. And they took Henson to court and lost. So they made the movie, released the movie, and guess what? It was a bomb.
Oh, boy. So
they needn't have bothered. But we also, in the Muppet scandals, we also have the controversy about whether Bert and Ernie are gay. And that's something that's been, you know, been around as a joke and a rumor for 20 or 30 years. That was around when my kids were watching Sesame Street.
Oh my
and
gosh!
That's, you know, they said at the time, they said they're not gay or straight. They're puppets.
Right, right.
So that was where it stood until last year, when one of the writers, a former writer for Sesame Street, his name is Mark Salzman. He gave an interview where he's gay, and he said that when he was writing for Bert and Ernie, he based it on relationships that he was familiar with, so essentially saying that they are gay, and that was a new controversy. But the Sesame Workshop responded with a press release saying that Bert and Ernie are best friends. They're created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with people who are different from themselves. And I thought that was a very sweet way to diffuse it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I always liked Bert and Ernie. I remember having the puppets, and
me too.
You know. I miss those things. You're pretty good at that. So, what are some?
Thanks.
You're welcome. What are some of the? Because you've got so much information. So, what's one that's really dear to your heart that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, geez. I like origin stories. I like to know, you know, what's the story behind how did something come about? We have a thing about glitter where glitter was originated in Germany in the 1930s. They used ground glass to create glitter, but when the World War II started, Germany's production went to the war effort, and they stopped creating glitter. All the glass manufacturing had to be used for national goals. But I think it's in the 1940s that a guy in New Jersey figured out a way to make glitter out of plastic. That was in 1934. He wanted to compress plastic in garbage dumps to make it smaller, but he found that the type of plastic that existed then, when you crushed it, it turned into little flakes. So he started a company called Meadowbrook Inventions to create glitter, and that was in the 1930s, and they are still the world's largest manufacturer of glitter.
Oh my gosh, that is neat. That's
I like
awesome.
That story. I also like, we have a page of logo origins, and these are things that you see all the time, and you never really think, well, where'd they come from? But I like those kinds of things. It's the Starbucks logo, which I don't know if you know this, but Starbucks got its name from the name of one of the characters in the classic novel Moby Dick. And the guys who started Starbucks wanted a logo that had a nautical theme to match the name. So the designer found a very old woodblock print of a two-tailed mermaid, which they adapted for the Starbucks logo. And that was the Starbucks logo for about 10 years until Howard Schultz took over the company. And they then changed the logo. They took the same image, but they cleaned it up a little bit. The original one, mermaid, you could see her naked chest. So they drew the hair over her breast so that you couldn't see that. And they focused just above the waist so you could only see mostly her face and not the two tails of the... But if you look at the current logo, you'll see what looks like arms coming off the sides, but that is the vestige of the original tails. They left that in there. So next time you're at Starbucks, take a look at the logo and see what I mean.
I'm going to do that. I was trying to picture it in my mind now. Boy, that totally, yes, I'm going to do that. And you have a story too, when you're drinking your Starbucks. You say, hey, did you know? I like that. Love that. It's such a great book too for the holidays. It makes a great gift for Christmas.
Yes, we get a lot of lifetime converts because somebody will have their cousin or their uncle or something spends too much time in the bathroom, so they think that's a joke present to get them a bathroom reader. But what they don't know is that they're just starting them off, and a lot of our longtime readers.
We put one in the radio station in the bathroom. One of the sales guys go, oh, you should put one. We've got two Johns at the radio station too. So, I'm like, well, that is appropriate. I actually have an Uncle John. So I was like, Uncle John, I'm going to give him a copy next time I see him, buy him a copy. So that's awesome. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I was recently at a recording studio in New York City visiting a friend, and I went to the bathroom, and there I saw an Uncle John's bathroom reader in the bathroom in this recording studio. And I was at I was at somebody's home in upstate New York, just walking around, and I saw a stack of bathroom readers next to his bed. And he said, oh, no, I read these before. I don't read them in the bathroom, but I read them before I go to bed every night. I said, love to see that. But a lot of these people, they get them as gifts, and they're converts to Uncle Johnism.
Well, that's wonderful. We're going to be giving away a copy to our listeners, so get ready for that. Someone can win a copy of Uncle John's Truth Trivia in the Pursuit of Factness. Where can we go online to purchase the books at?
You can go to portablepress.com. Portable Press is the publisher, and or you can go to the Portable Press page on Facebook, and I think they tell you where you can get them, but I'll tell you, you can get them at your local independent bookstore, or you can get them from Barnes & Noble, or you can get them at Sam's Club, and of course you can get them at Amazon online if you so desire.
Wonderful. Well, you have a Merry Christmas and really enjoyed your book.
Anything else you'd like?
Do you have a website that people can follow you online?
Oh, I just mentioned portablepress.com. We don't have a bathroom reader website, but I'll leave you with this.
Okay.
Did you hear about the accident where a guy accidentally fell into the upholstery machine?
No.
Don't worry. He's fully recovered.
Oh, that's cute. Well, you have a Merry Christmas and
thank you.
Loved your book. All right. You have a great day.
Thanks
thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Penny.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.